Good morning, beautiful people.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see all of you. Will you join with me as we affirm together our vision and mission statements? Together, our vision. Unity Church of Light is a spirit-centered inspiration in the world. And our mission statement. Unity Church of Light stands as a spiritual beacon to illuminate the world. And today we're doing something a little different. We're going to repeat our Lord's Prayer now. So will you join me as we together pray our Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now our unity affirmation. And I love this because people in unity churches all over the world are repeating this affirmation, and some of them at this very same time as we are. So together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. God the good, omnipotent. Then I invite you to take a moment to feel that one presence and that one power in you and all around you. And in everyone and around the world. And realize that no matter what is going on in the outer world, whether it's in your life, your loved ones' lives, or anyone in the world, God is greater than anything else. So we put our trust in God, and we know that all is well. Thank you, God. Amen. Our daily word for today is joy. Makes me want to dance. Okay. I carry joy in my heart. My many happy experiences and memories may lead me to feel joyful, but I know that they're not the source of my joy. One of my divine gifts, joy is part of my spiritual identity, as close to me as my next breath. Joy wells up and spills over within me when I bring my awareness to my spiritual nature. And to my oneness with all good and all life. It is an attitude I hold in mind and a feeling in my heart. The happiness I feel in life depends on my allowing my inner wellspring of joy to come forth. I nurture my joy by maintaining a regular prayer practice that enhances my awareness of God and by making time for the things that make me happiest. I go into the world grateful for the joy that resides within me, my gift to share generously. And from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12, for you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. I like that. Okay, and now we're going to bless our youth. Our youth all over the world and the youth inside of us, that little kid in us that needs us to bless it too. So let's say our blessing for youth all over together. Children of God, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the Christ in you. Yes, we do. Announcements for today. Well, the first announcement, I want to welcome Greg, who has been with our board and actually boards from other Unity churches in the area, Friday night with our board, and then Saturday with all of them. And we're just so grateful that you came. I'm going to tell you a little more about him. Reverend Greg Coles is a member of the Unity Worldwide Ministries consulting teams and serves ministers, ministries, and members as the regional representative for our Great Lakes Unity region. Greg has been providing leadership for family, pastoral, and program-sized ministries in Unity since 1991. Along with his years of experience, Greg brings an open heart to serve ministries and a training background that includes UWM Peacemaking, Healthy Congregations, the work of Byron Katie, and conflict mediation skills from the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center. Thank you for all that you do for unity. Thank you. I also want to say a special thank you to Pat and Priscilla, who came and graciously served all the guests we had yesterday lunch. Thank you so much. Yeah. And I also want to thank our board of trustees and our spiritual leader. And Jackie, you've got to put all this together. All the work that went into that and all the time that our board spent learning from Greg and learning from each other. You had a lot of participatory things. It was a great event for our church. I was fortunate because I'm married to Wayne. So I got to know of what a gift that really was, that this was a big deal. This was really a big deal for our church, and we invited churches from the area in, so we deepened our connections with people in other Unity churches. The vastness of what happened is just so incredible, and the dedication of our board members who gave their time and their willingness to do that, so let's acknowledge them. And our spiritual leader, you know, just is behind in the heart of all of that. So we're just so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now let me see. What else do I want to do? I want to welcome Alan. We're just really glad you're back. Yeah. Yay, yeah. Okay, now that was extra announcements. So the regular ones are in your... The regular ones are in your bulletin. See, those you had to listen to because they weren't in your bulletin. Now, these you can read. But also knowing that every Wednesday we have a Silent Unity prayer service. So if you need a little extra boost in the middle of the week, come on out and be blessed by that service. And there's other things in there. And also, Vernetta's class starts Tuesday. So if you've been wanting to know more about the Bible, this is your chance. So we're very fortunate that Vernetta is willing to teach us all so many things. So if you haven't registered for that, contact her and get the Zoom link and, right, Vernetta, and whatever else you need to know. After service. Okay. And then Marty's going to have a class in June, and that's in your bulletin too. Okay, did I cover it? Okay, good. Now, I'm done, and you get to hear Alan. Yay.
I normally don't say too much when I'm sitting up here, but today something was on my heart, and it was 10 years ago. I was 50, and my whole life was beyond rock bottom. It's one thing we kind of like hit bottom and you're just there. This was like below, and that's when I met Vernetta, actually. Edwin Gaines' conference, yeah, he was here. And I was just at a place where I was just like, everything, nothing made sense at all. And, you know, when you look back on your life, things seem to be pretty 2020, don't they? And you're like, oh, yeah. And that kind of gives you a sense of confidence. Okay, whatever. Not always. And, but being willing to be open to God being, you know, in front of me as my source. And it can seem kind of cloudy, and you don't really know. And I just remember at times the only thing I could do for the day was just repeat, God is my source. God is my source. God is my source. God is my source. To help me remember where to look, because we only get in life where we're looking, right? So at that point in time, it was slow movement, but steady. And I look at my life where I am now, turning 60 in November, that, you know, it's like I feel like my life started. And it was during that ending time that in my heart, it just seemed like there was nothing else there. And it's really kind of interesting at that point in time, you God's always there. Amen. So as I sing this song, it's a little kind of a different take on things, but I wanted to preface why I'm singing this song, because going through the trials, going through the things in our lives, it is difficult. Okay? But remember where and who you're looking at. The trials that come my way, in that way I can grow each day, as I let you lead. And thank you, Lord, for the patience those trials bring, in that process of I can learn to care, but it goes against the way I am to put my human nature down and let the Spirit take control of all I do. For when those trials come, you're there to help, lead, and guide me along from home. 'Cause you promise, Lord, that with every testing, that your way of escaping is easier. But it goes against the way I am to put my human nature down and let the Spirit take control of all I do. For when those trials come, my human nature shouts the thing to do. And God's soft prompting can be easily ignored. I thank you, Lord, for the victory that growing brings, and surrender to everything. Life is so worthwhile. And I thank you, Lord, that when everything's put in place, out in front I can see your face, and it's there you
Ernst, everybody. Wow. How blessed you are. Yes. So we're standing on a bridge. You and I, each of us, we're standing on a bridge. And of course, a bridge is an affirmation, or rather, a metaphor. A bridge is a metaphor for change, for crossing over from here to there, from our smallness to our greatness, from our I can't to our I can. And the bridge to get us there is called faith. So faith is going to be our topic today. And I know you've heard about faith from this platform, I'm sure, many, many times before. But I'm going to hope that today you'll experience a kind of faith, not just in a God or power out there, but that power of God that is inside you. Because we are standing on a bridge. So I want to share about three different questions for us to explore today. First, what is faith? Then how are we experiencing faith as individuals? And how are we expressing faith as a spiritual community? So what is faith? I looked up all kinds of definitions and different sources, but the one that spoke most to me was written by an East Indian poet named Tagore, who was the winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature. And he wrote this: faith is the bird that feels the light and sings while the dawn is still dark. I'll say it again. Faith is the bird that feels the light and sings while the dawn is still dark. And I love that description because, like your story, Alan, it speaks to that faith that is inside us, to perceiving the light, the power of God, and then taking authentic action, singing our song. Of course, there's a wonderful definition of faith from the Revealing Word by our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, that some of you truth students and ministers and licensed teachers will know very well. And Charles says this: faith is the perceiving power of mind, and I'm going to say he uses a capital M when he writes mind. Faith is the perceiving power of capital M mind linked with the power to shape substance. And I would suggest that this is very much like Tagore, just written with a lot more words, because Charles was very wordy. So when he says faith is perceiving power of mind, he's talking about the power of God, the power of the light. And when he says linked with the power to shape substance, he's talking about that substance, that possibility that's everywhere present, that God substance. And who has the power to shape that? Who has that power? We do. You and I. Like the bird, he's talking about perceiving the power of God, the light, linked with our power to sing our song. Of course, Jesus spoke of faith all through his ministry. When we read about it in the Bible with each of the miracles that he performed, we say he performed. But when you read about them, he continues to say, your faith has made you well. So when the blind man was healed, he looked at him and he said, your faith has made you well. When that woman that we read about who was bleeding ill for 12 years touched just the hem of his garment and was healed, he turned to her and he said, your faith has made you well. And then the centurion comes to him and says, his servant is dying back home. Quick, you need to come. You can heal him. Jesus didn't go. He said, this centurion, he said, it is done according to your faith. And within the hour, the man was healed. See, Jesus didn't teach or say, I have the power. Look what I can do. He was very, very clear. Your faith has made you well. So that's a question to ask ourselves next, now that we understand faith a little bit. How are we using our faith, you and I as individuals today, how are we using our faith to cross over that bridge? Because it doesn't really matter, I don't think, what Tagore said, or Jesus said, or Charles said. What matters is what we're doing with it, how we're living it in our own lives today. So how are we expressing our faith? From a relationship that might need healing into a relationship of wholeness, or from an addiction to freedom, from living from a sense of lack and not enough to abundance and gratitude and joy. How are we doing that? See, I don't know what your next step is on that bridge to cross over, but I do know that the power of God light is shining down on us to illumine us to sing our song. Now, I know many of us, Alan himself shared his own story of crossing that bridge, and it's not pretty, is it? No, very painful, but necessary if we're going to get from here to there. So I want to share one of my stories, too, of crossing over a bridge, because I know we've all had those experiences of crossing a bridge and overcoming. My crossing over, this story I'm going to share, is about crossing over to become a minister, which I did kicking and screaming. You can relate, right? So it starts about 15 years ago, and I had traveled to Overland Park, Kansas to interview for a job at Unity Church of Overland Park. And during that weekend, the vice president said to me, she said, do you want to go to the village? And I said, is that a shopping center? I had no clue it was nearby. She said, no, Unity Village. I'm like, Unity Village is near here? She said, yeah, it's 20 minutes away. We can go. We have time this afternoon. I'm like, wow. I'd seen it in picture books, like those books you have down in your library, you know, about Unity. So I'd seen it in picture books and in the calendars, and I thought, we're just 20 minutes away. So off we go. And who's been to Unity Village before? Raise your hand. Oh, my God. Wonderful. You never forget that first experience, right? Me neither. I remember coming off that 350 ramp and seeing that tower up in the distance, and then walking in the tunnels under the buildings. I felt like I'd been there before. There was a knowing. I call it a coming home experience. It's like I'd come home to myself, though. It wasn't a place. It was coming home to myself. And I knew in that moment that if these people offered me the job, I was supposed to say yes. No more worrying about my wonderful job in Houston and my church family and everything else. I knew I was supposed to say yes. So I got the job, and a few months later, I'm taking these spiritual education and enrichment classes at Unity Village. But I'm not really a classroom kind of guy. So during the breaks, I get out of the class and I go around the beautiful, beautiful courtyard, right? It's gorgeous. And all these big trees, and I'm hopping up on the benches, and I'm looking at the fountains, smelling the beautiful rose garden. And I go back to class one day, and one of my classmates says, isn't that great that they fixed the Bridge of Faith? I said, oh, where's the Bridge of Faith? And they said, it's the bridge in the middle of the courtyard that goes over the fountains. Oh, I thought. I'd never crossed over that bridge in all those times, all those classes, all those breaks. So I knew what I was supposed to do. And at the end of that day, I walked up to the base of the bridge, and I looked up, and I walked to the top, and I just cried. Tears of release, of surrender. Surrender for my need for control. Surrender perfectionism. The need to have to be enough, do enough. Just surrender. And to embrace a possibility that maybe I can. Just maybe I can. Maybe I can learn to embrace myself and love myself, all of me, so much that I can embrace and love all of other people. Maybe. And that's been my experience of crossing that bridge. And we get to cross the bridge over and over, surrendering those things that no longer serve us, of letting them go, to embrace a possibility, a light, to be illumined, and to do what is ours to do to cross over. So, traveling the bridge of faith is really about a personal transformation, right? It's not about changing anything outside. It's not about fixing anything out there. It's about an inner journey of transforming ourselves. And I liken it a lot to the story of the caterpillar that is transformed to the butterfly. And I always loved that story, and as a kid, and I thought, oh, isn't that cool? Isn't that sweet? That's so wonderful. But guess what? I found out it's not sweet. It's not pleasant. It's messy, it's ugly, it's awkward. So let me tell you what I found out, because I did a little research here to find out what happens when a caterpillar transforms to the butterfly. So the caterpillar goes into that chrysalis, and it begins the process of dying. And it dies from the inside out. What scientists call imaginal cells are formed within the caterpillar's own biological makeup. But the caterpillar's immune system don't recognize the imaginal cells, so it starts to fight them off inside. And I imagine this battle ensuing as this imaginal cell is formed and the caterpillar fighting and fighting. And then it wins, you know, it beats. I'm still good, I'm strong, I'm a caterpillar, we can do this. I know how to do this. And then there's another cell, and another cell, and another, until it's fighting for its life, the only life it's ever known. I've been there, have you? Fighting for the only life we've known, the only relationship we've known, the only career we've known, the only church we've known. Fighting. Until finally, that caterpillar can fight no more. And it lets go. It surrenders. And it dissolves into complete and total mush, chaos, nothing. But the good news, and we know the good news, from this mush and seeming chaos emerges something so beautiful. So magnificent. That caterpillar could have had no idea it was to become, that it was to be what was already inside it. No idea. That caterpillar was meant to fly. Who knew it? So what goes into that chrysalis is a completely different creature that comes out. Make no two minds about it. So there's 10 legs that crawl into that chrysalis. And there's a new creature with just six legs that comes out. The caterpillar was basically an eating machine. That's what it does. It devours and eats and eats and eats its environment. Much like our world today, right? Eating, consuming, consuming our environment. On the other hand, the butterfly has practically no detectable digestive system at all. Rather, it is more akin to a flying sex organ. Its prime purpose is to procreate. So rather than consume, 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 its purpose is to create. Completely different creature. So when we talk about transformation, we're not talking about making this a stronger caterpillar, making it a better caterpillar, shoring up the caterpillar. We're talking about a surrender, a death, a dying, and a resurrection. We're talking about a transformation. We're talking about an inner transformation when we cross over that bridge. Now, I believe this might be hard for you. I believe Unity Church of Light is on a bridge. And we're being called to surrender and let go of things that may not serve us anymore. That we've been a beautiful, beautiful caterpillar. Perfect, perfect, wonderful. And we're on a bridge. And I'm telling you, we're meant to fly. And it's hard to imagine what it's going to look like. Churches have been dying for the last 20 years, consistently, as an industry. Did you know that? You can look it up. For the last 20 years, between 6,000 and 10,000 churches close. Every year for the last 20. And for every four that close, there's only one that opens. So as we cross over this bridge, I don't know what it's supposed to look like on this other side. But I'm very aware we are standing on a bridge of transformation. Barbara Marx Hubbard is a spiritual visionary and an author. I don't know if you're familiar with her work. I adore her. She's the founding member of the Association for Global New Thought. And she wrote this. She says, I believe, I want to preface this first. I think the changes that our industry is making, many industries are making. Our world is changing. Things are falling apart. Systems are falling apart. They're struggling to survive. And that's part of the chaos. That's part of fighting off who we've been, which has been wonderful. But we're meant to be something greater, something more, as a world, as a people. So Barbara writes, she says, I believe that what we're becoming is new and open-ended, that we've not yet fully experienced our potential. No kidding. As we learn to use our radical new powers of science and technology, combined with our higher consciousness and deep wisdom, she says, we will give birth to a society equal to our spiritual and social potential, and a new humanity that is yet only imagined in its full expression. She says, we are the crossover generation from one phase of evolution to the next. I think she's onto something. We are a crossover generation. Unity Church of Light is on a bridge. It's another poem. This is by Sonia Renee Taylor. Wonderful poet. Like you, another wonderful poet, Jackie. Jackie Compton. She wrote a poem called, It's Call to Dream. She says, we will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was not normal, other than We normalized greed, inequity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. She writes, "We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature." I think she's onto something too. I want to close today by doing a little guided meditation. Alan's going to help us. That's why we didn't do the meditation earlier. So I invite you to close your eyes now for a moment, if you will. And I'm going to guide us back in time. We're going to travel back to June of 1951 and the dedication ceremony for the Bridge of Faith that took place at Unity Village. So it's a beautiful June day. And we're sitting outdoors in that magnificent courtyard. And we can smell the roses in the garden blooming, offering their scent. We feel the warm sun on our skin, the gentle breeze as it trickles over us, over our body. We can hear the music that's playing in the background. And we hear the hubbub of people meeting and joining and gathering together. There's an excitement and an energy in the air, in anticipation, as we dedicate this Bridge of Faith to Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And here we are, and we listen. We listen to the words that were spoken that day in June of 1951 by Unity Minister Ernest Wilson. A bridge is an affirmation. It is man's assertion of "I can" to nature's challenge, "You cannot." It is a symbol of the pathway from frustration to fulfillment. And this is the essence of our founders. The greatest testimonial we can give to Charles and Myrtle is not to admire what they had accomplished, but to find in ourselves that same quickening spirit. These are troubled times. And the dark shadow of war is on the world. Thousands of young people are giving the greatest measure of devotion for ideals. And if ever there was a time when men should lift up their hearts and find a pattern of faith to emulate, it is now. So let's take that into our meditation, those words. And know in our own lives, whatever our bridges, whatever our challenges are overcoming, that if ever there was a time to lift up our hearts and to feel the light of God, it's now. Feel that light of God illuminating on us, in us, and through us, and to sing our song. And so for this reminder, for this knowing that there is something greater wanting to give birth to this world through us, a greater way of being in our own personal lives, and it's waiting to be born through us. Wow, we give thanks. We give thanks, sweet Spirit, for knowing it is our faith that will make us well. Our faith. And it's already there. It's already within us. We might feel like a big, fat, fluffy worm, but we're meant to fly. We were born for times such as these, and we have all the resources we need, not without us, but within us. And so it is, and for this knowing, we give thanks. We give thanks in advance for the power to cross that bridge and to become all we are here to be, as individuals and as a spiritual community. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Alan. So I like to give, some people call it homework, some people call it home play or a spiritual practice. We celebrated Easter 2 weeks ago, right? The crucifixion, which was necessary for the resurrection to take place. There's no resurrection without a crucifixion. Impossible. So I invite us to take time, some time apart, just yourself, to sit with and just be with God. Capital M mind or light, whatever you want to call God, whatever name you use. Just to sit with God and to listen to what may be your step, what may be yours to do in crossing over whatever bridge is before you. That you let go of the not enough, the lack, the need, whatever it is. And you say yes, and you cross over. So sit with God. Listen to what that is. And know that we are all standing on that bridge with you. Standing on that bridge with you. Thank you so much for having me. I want to again acknowledge all of your, not just the board, but members of your leadership team were there yesterday. Four other ministries from this area, Unity Churches, were there. It was an extraordinary, powerful time. We're struggling as a movement right now. We're learning to embrace where we are on this bridge, in this transformation process. And some people, during transformation, they remember how wonderful it was and how beautiful, and they feel the grief, the sadness, of course. Wish it could be like that, of course. And as the pieces fall apart, other people look at those same pieces, and they look at those pieces, and they say, wow, look what we can do. Look what we can create with these pieces. So it's both and. So wherever you are in your experience, know that you're right where you're supposed to be. And we're here as a community to support one another as we cross over that bridge together. So thank you for having me. God bless you. Thank you.